The following program is created for informational purposes only and does not constitute as medical advice. The views and opinions expressed on this program are those of the host. If you think you may have a medical emergency, consult your doctor.
This is where the healing begins.
This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic, where it's not only about neck and back pain, but a place for whole body wellness. Listen this hour as Dr. Leanne is here to share her wellness education to help you live a maximized life. For more information, visit GreenwoodFamilyChiropractic.com. Here's Dr. Leanne.
Good morning. Thanks for joining. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853, or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. That's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations is $25. Today we're talking about neuropathy. I feel like we've done, grazed over it a little bit, but I had a patient in the office the other day who said, "Have you done a show on neuropathy?" And the answer after doing this show for 8 years is likely yes to anything that you ask. Though, that being said, I think it's been a while. So let's talk about neuropathy. Some might know it as like a paresthesia, numbness and tingling, a different sensation. So we're going to talk more about what it is. Different because there's not just one path that causes it. So navigating through some of the different reasons why you could be having it, but then too, knowing when is a good time to get checked out by a doctor or when are some signs that you can manage it more conservatively. So we'll go through some natural treatments, remedies to be able to relieve some of those numbness and tingling. So if you don't know anything about Maximize Your Life with Greenwood Family Chiropractic, so we look at the body as a whole, right? We always look at, headaches, neck pain, back pain. It's more than just headaches, neck pain, and back pain. It's whole body wellness. I was talking to a new chiropractor doctor who's just out of school this morning, and, he was like, "Well, tell me about your office." And I said, "Well, listen, I'm super biased, but I want to do what we can from a more conservative level. I want to help people restore the life of their dreams because they have regained their health. I want to be a part of individuals' abilities to reach goals and their potentials. I want to," right? Like, it's just one that chiropractic is the most important component, right? Because without a nervous system, it doesn't matter. Though that being said, when we look at more of the nutritional component, the detoxification component, when we start addressing those individuals as well, those issues, this is where you start to see the clouds shift, the sun comes out, and we really start meeting goals that sometimes, sometimes chiropractic works great. Talking to another friend today who said, "I had neck pain that was radiating down my arm, and the first adjustment I felt relief." There isn't a vitamin that's going to do it. There's not a detox to do that. So, you just have to get down to that whole body wellness. And the great thing about it is that we get to be the individuals that are alongside of everyone when they go through this health journey. Everyone has Dr. Google at their fingertips, but the problem is that, there's so many things. You want to find that an apple will cause cancer and kill you? You can find it on the internet. You want to find that smoking cigarettes is the healthiest thing you could ever do for your lungs? You can find it, right? Like, there's Snoops or whatever, which are like some random couple that's like literally out of their basement that tries to debunk myths that are, I've looked at a couple of them that patients have sent me that they're wrong. They're like incredibly wrong. It's very interesting. But yet people take these things because it's on the internet and you're just like, oh my goodness. So it's just navigating through. So the good news is that my goal is to help you navigate through if you're having numbness and tingling, paresthesia, neuropathy. Hopefully we can be a light and an answer today. But before that, we've got some news.
Dr. Leanne's Health News.
Some studies suggest that too much sugar can literally mess with the brain.
Health News Now, one of the world's most commonly prescribed medications.
Today, the average American consumes 22 teaspoons of sugar a day.
Protesters say they just should not be forced to get this shot, not by the government.
For today's Health in the News, talking from Life But Better Foods, CNN Health, what everyone gets wrong about cholesterol in foods. So many people worry about cholesterol with good reason. More than a third of Americans have high cholesterol, putting them at greater risk for stroke and heart disease, which is the leading cause of heart disease in the United States. This is from the CNN article. What you can eat can play an important role in maintaining cardiovascular health, and it's reasonable to think that eating cholesterol-laden foods will raise your cholesterol levels, but the connection isn't quite that simple. P.S. by the way, I've been saying this for years. So the article goes on to talk about how the U.S. Department of Agriculture's dietary guidelines don't specify a maximum level of how much cholesterol a person should have in their diet. The recommendation was eliminated in the 2015 to 2020 publication, and they were not included in the newest guidelines released for 2021. The reason? For the most part, the amount of cholesterol we're taking in is not really a problem. When thinking about dietary cholesterol, they emphasize that it's important to take into consideration how much of it people typically eat in a day. They go on to talk about this lady, Alice, who's the director of Tufts University Cardiovascular Nutrition Laboratory. So Alice emphasized it's important to take into consideration how much people eat in a day. She's on the committee that decided the previous dietary guideline recommendation of limiting dietary cholesterol intake to 300 milligrams wasn't necessary. Why? Because most of us were already doing that. Women consume on average 250 milligrams of cholesterol a day and men 350 milligrams. Therefore, the committee didn't consider cholesterol a nutrient of public health concern, quote unquote. In 2019, this was really interesting. So we've been saying all along, dietary cholesterol doesn't increase serum cholesterol, meaning the cholesterol that you eat doesn't directly impact the cholesterol in your body. This is really interesting. We do a lot of health talks, cardiovascular talks. So a 2019 American Heart Association meta-analysis. So meta-analysis looked at studies, and they found that they did not have a significant association between dietary cholesterol and cardiovascular risk. Where cholesterol intake did seem to increase was when people were eating as much as three times the average amount. So eating food rich in cholesterol doesn't increase blood cholesterol, usually in a small amount, but in a massive amount, then they think it could. They say a greater concern is what people were eating alongside of it, saturated fat. So this is also where I tend to, this is where I deviate off, and I tend to disagree a little bit more. They said saturated fat is a bigger culprit for raising blood cholesterol in general than dietary cholesterol. But this is where I look at. They don't talk about good saturated fats versus more rancid, bad saturated fats. If you knew the amount of coconut oil or avocado oil or olive oil that I consumed, MCT oil, you would be aghast. You would be like, there is no possible way. And then you look at my cholesterol, and my cholesterol is beautiful. My HDLs are way high. Everything else is low. And why? Because I eat a diet super high in saturated fat. So they go on to talk about this, right? They talk about how animals, including humans, make cholesterol to perform a host of important functions in the body. Sex hormones, converting sunlight into vitamin D, forming part of cell membranes. So plants don't make cholesterol. So the cholesterol we get from our diet comes from animal products. I don't agree with that. Your body actually creates cholesterol. This is a side note. in the liver. And so when we're looking at how your body creates cholesterol, that is inevitably one where, you know, what is cholesterol is your body's healing mechanism, right? So this is where we deviate from the CNN article, because it was like, ooh, you're onto something. And then you're like, oh, fell a little bit short. Cholesterol is your body's healing mechanism. So your body, if there is damage to an artery wall, will send cholesterol there as a healing mechanism. So the problem is that we just think, like, where does the cholesterol come from? And they're like, well, fats, right? At first, years ago, they thought cholesterol. And now they said, well, it's definitely not cholesterol, but it's saturated fats. And we demonize that. But what are you eating alongside of the saturated fats? Right? Like, what else are you eating that, what's the quality source of that saturated fat? Is it healthy? Is it not? And so oftentimes we demonize the saturated fat, but in reality, again, it's not necessarily the saturated fat that's the problem. And so when we look at the body's healing mechanisms, it's like, okay, well, what is causing damage to the artery wall? Is it a toxicity load? Is it sugar? Is it, right? Like all of these other things that we don't address in terms of what we should be doing. So they go on to talk about just eating patterns and Mediterranean diet, right? Which when you look at the Mediterranean diet, it's high in fruits and vegetables and nuts and whole grains and beans and like eating real food, not processed crap. Right? Like what if we just stayed away from a not crap diet and we paid attention, right? You still ate really amazing quality saturated fat, like full fat dairy, quality red meat, but we stayed away from packaged foods. We stayed away from sugary drinks and we did a huge analysis on that, right? We stayed away from the crap and we ate really good, clean, healthy, toxic-free food by God. What happens to our cholesterol? You know, so it's one of those ones you're like, gosh, you're so close, but yet to fall so far. So when we come back, numbness and tingling in your hands, in your leg, there's more to know, and we'll talk about it next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
I feel my heartbeat, hear my soul say, I'm alive.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. That's 317-893-2853. Or you could check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. It's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Also, if you didn't know, if you want to check out our Facebook page, we also have up-to-date information on events that are happening in the office, just great ways, things that we talk about throughout that course of care in the office as well. So there's always great information on our Facebook page, Greenwood Family Chiropractic. So today, let's talk about some neuropathy. Now, because when we talk about neuropathy, there's a couple of things that come into play with neuropathy. So neuropathy, which most people know as peripheral neuropathy, is specifically a condition that affects peripheral nerves. So peripheral nerves means like distant in the periphery. We're like, oh, I see that over in the periphery. I don't think a lot of people say that, but it means like further away. So like further away from the center of the body. So remember, your brain stem and spinal cord are what control every single cell, organ, and tissue. So your brain communicates those messages down through the spinal cord and out along those nerves. So down to the tips of the fingers, out to organ systems. And so when we look at neuropathy, it's not usually close to the body, right? It's not as common to have like a numbness and tingling or pain in the like torso area, like your center, your core, your chest. It is more common in the periphery, arms and legs. we'll kind of talk about the different forms of neuropathy. So the most common symptoms of neuropathy can include pain, numbness and tingling, weakness, or a different sensation of walking on pins and needles. Sometimes people say, well, I can still feel it. It's not numb, but it feels different. The sensation's different, right? That would still be considered under the blanket umbrella of neuropathy, right? So when we talk about like numbness and tingling, it's also known that kind of different sensation can also be known as paresthesia. So you're learning a lot of new medical words today. You're going to be a ninja talking about this stuff afterwards, right? So neuropathy in general just basically means kind of nerve pain, if you will. More specifically in the arms and legs. And again, includes pain, numbness and tingling, weakness, and a different sensation. Symptoms can range to being very mild to being more severe. So that being said, typically the symptom of paresthesia is not often life-threatening. Okay. So there is a variety of reasons why you can have neuropathy. One of them, I think the most commonly known, is diabetic neuropathy. So this obviously is a neuropathy that this is a neuropathy that happens when you have diabetes, i.e. diabetic neuropathy, right? So uncontrolled sugars. So really when you talk about diabetic neuropathy, it is caused more specifically because of uncontrolled sugars. Though that being said, when I was talking to an individual, you know, there's a couple tests that they'll do when you go into the doctor and say, your typical medical doctor, I should say, that say, hi, I have neuropathy. And so they can go through blood work and they look at sugars or vitamin deficiencies. We'll talk about what vitamin deficiencies could cause that neuropathy as well. But if you're diabetic, it's really, really easy to say, okay, well, it's from the diabetes. Get your diabetes under control. Listen, hear me well. You should get your diabetes under control if you don't have diabetic neuropathy. If you have diabetic neuropathy, you still need to get your diabetes under control. Regardless of symptoms, regardless of what you have, you should make sure that your sugar levels are under control. I'll share with you a quick piece. So as a chiropractor, we actually do go through five parts, 1, 2, 3, 4, and PT parts of boards. So like if you are a board certified doctor, board certified surgeon, right? We are board certified chiropractor. So there's four parts of boards. It's basically this incredibly rigorous testing that they go through to make sure like you're fit and you have the knowledge to be a doctor. You get straight A's, never miss an exam question, your whole entire advanced doctoral program for school, A++, 4.2 GPA, whatever it be. But if you don't pass these boards, you cannot practice as a doctor. You can't. Just how it is, right? And so these tests are a ton of money to take. They are literally your future is weighted on them, on whether or not you can practice. So there are preparatory courses that you can take. And so I remember one of these prep courses that they said, if you're looking through, because they give you like strategies and testing skills and mnemonics and all these great things. And they said, if you come across a patient who has a symptom that they present and it's just odd, nothing fits and there's no answers and you're so thrown off, but there is an option that you can choose that this patient has diabetes, you take diabetes. Every single time, if you don't understand and you are not sure, you pick diabetes because every single time, those uncontrolled sugars will wreak havoc on your body. Literally to the point with diabetic neuropathy that it's like, it's literally basically eating away at those nerve endings. You know, you can lose your sight with diabetes, right? Though that being said, why is it that even not every diabetic individual has neuropathy? Even the ones that are the most advanced, who've had them for years, why is it that not every person who's a diabetic has neuropathy, right? There's something else that's underlying. And so many times when we look at not only do you have diabetes, but also, right, there's a mass amount of nerves on damage on the nerves in your lower back. And those are the ones that go down to your feet as well. So no, adjustments are not going to get rid of diabetic neuropathy. Managing your diabetes is going to help with that. Though that being said, I do oftentimes see people who come into the clinic who said, you know, I have typically had pretty standard blood sugars. They've been a little bit off more recently, and I have this neuropathy. Why is it that, you know, my dad, who's had uncontrolled diabetes for the last decade, doesn't have that same neuropathy? Right? So, another test that they can often do is EMGs. It's electromyography. And it records the activity in the muscle to detect if you have any nerve damage. Well, one of the cool aspects about our office is we have a scan that's called surface EMG. So the surface EMG is not as painful as the EMG, which uses the needles, but it's all on the surface. So it kind of lets us see nerve conduction velocity and how that it's firing to let us see underlying compromise to that nerve root. But this is also the reason why when we talk about neuropathy, it's oftentimes that you say, hey, it's the oddest thing. My hand, I feel odd sensations in my hand, like it's numb, but it's only my forefinger and my thumb. It's not my pinky finger. Or you say, hey, I have following a nerve root or a nerve root dermatome. So here's where if you really want to get interesting, you could just hop on Google and look at a diagram of a nerve root dermatome. So for example, your pointer and your thumb are C6 nerve root. So if you have impingement in the base of the cervical spine that affects C6, that is that dermatome. But if you look at like the middle and the pointer and the pinky finger, that is a different nerve root dermatome. So they all have, same thing with like muscles. For example, like your bicep is C6, where your tricep is C7. So when people have weakness, we'll talk a little bit about that. When you have weakness, that also can be a form of neuropathy. Same thing when it travels down your leg. You might experience sciatic radiating down your leg. Or you might say, hey, my big toe is numb, but my pinky toe is not. Well, the big toe is L5, where the pinky toe is S1. So these all come from different segments in your spine. This is one where when you think about like chiropractors are just back crackers, you're like, no, if you had any idea the in-depth amount of information we know on the human body, you would be astonished, right? This isn't about just cracking backs. This is literally one where your central nervous system is the master system, right? This is what controls everything. So if we're working with a spine that surrounds and protects that, of course you want a doctor who is highly, highly educated on that. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter. So let's talk about the conventional approach to treatment. So when we look at the conventional approach to treatment, it was so interesting because I was looking through just kind of general. And so they talked about neuropathy treatment options because I know how we look at it. And so according to Dr. Heather Finley Morale, doctor and assistant professor of pediatrics at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, quote, medications such as gabapentin, pregabalin, antidepressants are helpful for neuropathy. Topicals such as lidocaine, menthol, and capsaicin are also helpful. Capsaicin is like heat, hot, spicy. There is, they said there's treatment to help ease symptoms. There's no cure for neuropathy. The goal of neuropathy treatment is to restore bodily function, relieve pain, and reduce discomfort. Well, it depends on what the source of this neuropathy is. This is one where I'm like, gosh, if there's, it's drugs or surgery are the conventional answer, right? Drugs and surgery. And if it doesn't fall in that, they say, well, there's no cure. Because when you look at some of the testimonies, the life changing testimonies we have at our office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic, you know, do we resolve all neuropathy cases? No. But do we have a super high success rate in neuropathy? Yes. Yes, absolutely we do. Now, and that's where I'm like, oh my gosh, gabapentin. So I'm like, okay. So gabapentin, pregabalin, people will know more so is Lyrica. That is kind of the standard. So the first thing that I look at, because I know that gabapentin is one of the most prescribed for nerve pain, right? For neuropathy, gabapentin or Lyrica are typically the like absolute go-tos. What was interesting when I said, I want to know the mechanism of action. Like what actually happens when you take that pill? It just doesn't get rid of nerve pain. Right. So like, what does it actually do? But gabapentin is actually an anticonvulsant medication that is actually on the market to prevent seizures in people with epilepsy. But doctors use it off label for nerve pain. And I said, that's really interesting. So basically the way that gabapentin works, gabapentin treats seizures by decreasing abnormal excitement of the brain. Okay. So this is how it works. It decreases abnormal excitement of the brain. Okay. Well, what is the abnormal excitement? It is your brain telling you that you're in pain. Your brain is trying to let you know. It is trying to be your best friend. It is trying to let you know that something's going on. And when we take gabapentin, what it does is it decreases excitement in the brain. It's not like a positive excitement. Your brain's trying to tell you like there's something going on. And so gabapentin, Lyrica, basically what it's designed to do is tell your brain to do this. Shh. 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 I don't want to hear you. Shh. Shh. If I don't see it, it's not there, right? And you're like, oh gosh. So I can't tell you how many times people take these and they're like, gosh, I saw such relief. And I say, of course it did, because it literally told your brain to stop. It literally just told your brain to stop firing. Like I can go through the binding sites of the brain and where it corresponds to presence of your voltage gate channel, calcium channels, and excitatory neurotransmitters and the presynaptic area, like all of the things, like it affects your brain. What you need to know is gabapentin, Lyrica, they're in the same class. It just tells your brain to shh. But it was interesting when I was looking at the mechanism, stumbled upon this, which I did not know. So this was published in early 2020 that the FDA warns about serious breathing problems with seizure and nerve pain medications, gabapentin, which is also Neurontin, and pregabalin, which is Lyrica CR. And so what they're finding is that what safety concern is the FDA announcing? Well, the FDA is warning that serious breathing difficulties may occur in patients using gabapentin, also known as Neurontin, or pregabalin, also known as Lyrica. These include the use of opioid pain medicines and others that depress the central nervous system, right? And conditions such as COPD that reduce lung function. The elderly are also higher at risk. So, and they give this with restless leg, nerve pain, seizures. So basically what they found is that gabapentinoids, which is what this class is, are often affected with CNS depressants, which increases the risk of respiratory depression. So CNS depressants include opioids, anti-anxiety, antidepressants, antihistamines. So like if you're taking antihistamines and like Neurontin or gabapentin, they say, hey, your lungs might just stop. Because what that's designed to do is calm everything down too. And you're already taking something that's literally telling your brain to shh. And it does that by calming your central nervous system down, right? Affecting that brain firing. And on top of that, we add other things. And this is why like people just take medication and they unfortunately just pass away in their sleep. Why? Because you're just telling everything to shut on the body, just shut everything down, right? You know what we should do when we've got pain? Just shut it down. Shut it down. Not why. Why? Why are you having this pain? No one has gotten. They say, oh, there's no cure. Just treatment. Just try to manage it. No big deal. Just one of those, like, my goodness. So, at this point, there might not be a quote-unquote cure, right? But there are ways to relieve. We have seen great results. There are natural ways to do it, but there are certain things that you have to address, and we will talk about what those are next.
You're listening to Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne. We're online with life-changing results and success stories at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. This is Maximize Your Life with Dr. Leanne of Greenwood Family Chiropractic. For more information and to schedule an appointment, visit greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Maximize Your Life. I'm Dr. Leanne Schluter with Greenwood Family Chiropractic. 317-893-2853. 317-893-2853. Or you can always check us out online at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. It's greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultation, just $25. So we're talking about neuropathy. There are different causes and risk factors. So one that we want to get out of the way, first and foremost, of causes can be from a stroke, which would be a medical emergency where there is a loss of blood supply. They can cause numbness, tingling, weakness, paresthesia, right? There are warning signs that you can look at on how to spot a stroke, right? It's fast. I don't know if you've ever gone through like general health fast. Face, ask the person to smile. If it's not symmetric, that's a problem. Arm, ask the person to raise both arms. If it's not symmetric, if they can't raise both arms, that's a problem. If they're, ask them to say, repeat a simple phrase. If they can't, it's a problem. If person failed any part of the test, then time is of the essence and you've got to go get them help, right? So that's if they're having a stroke. Now, sometimes it's when you're like, I don't think I'm having a stroke. Then what else can it be? What I see, like, so let's get all like the really scary stuff out of the way, because can really scary stuff cause this? It can, but it's not as it's not necessarily the more common when you experience neuropathy or paresthesia. So stroke, multiple sclerosis, encephalitis, which is a viral infection of swelling of the brain, it could be a tumor. Right? Like, more specifically when you experience numbness and tingling, or so that radiation, if you have radiation, it could be nerve related. It literally could be a pinched nerve. Anytime you have numbness and tingling, it is oftentimes nerve related. This is one where you can look and ask that doctor more specifically, is this nerve related or is this a deficiency related? And they should be able to tell you. So it is so often that someone says, oh, my toes are numb. And it's because they're bone on bone in their lumbar spine. Their nerves are compressed. They have sciatic pain, which is a radiating pain that runs down the lower back into the hips, through the buttocks, the lower leg, and can cause numbness and burning sensation. That is part of sciatic pain. It's not just the pain. It can also cause paresthesia, which is the numbness and tingling. It could be nerve damage because of trauma or whiplash, right? Again, damage on those nerves. When you have damage on those nerves, that's more specifically what we look at in our office. We look exactly to see what is the underlying, is there an underlying nerve-related issue? And the way that we're able to do that often is by looking at x-rays. X-rays look at bone and bony alignment, allows us to see if there's any bone spurring, if there's any osteophytes, if there's any loss of disc height, which would be considered osteoarthritis, degenerative disc disease, degenerative joint disease. It allows us to see, you know, is there something from a spine nerve related going on? And honestly, a good majority of the time there 100% is. Now, there also can be deficiencies as well. It could be one big thing that I'll tell you too, is that look at the, you know, it's side effects of different antibiotics, medication for HIV or AIDS, certain anti-seizure medications, which is funny because the seizure medications we just talked about are supposed to help with neuropathy, but side effect is that it might cause numbness and tingling. Chemotherapy drugs, that's also oftentimes a toxicity overload when you see that, the that sort of numbness and tingling. But as well, it could be from a vitamin deficiency. It's interesting how our body is so incredibly smart. So what was interesting is I looked up, this is Continuum, published in Peripheral Nervous System Disorders in October of 2014. It is peripheral neuropathy due to vitamin deficiencies, toxins, and medications. So it goes on to look at the different vitamin deficiencies. So central nervous system wise, you've got to look at B vitamins. So a B12 deficiency, a niacin deficiency, which is B3, thiamine, which is B1, all can lead to peripheral neuropathy due to toxicity. So toxicity can cause this, or vitamin deficiency. So we're talking more specifically now about vitamin deficiency causing peripheral neuropathy. So one, I mean, the easiest thing to do with this is eat a healthy diet, right? When you're looking at foods that are high in B12, they're often more meat-related or egg, animal products, if you will, which is why vegetarians oftentimes have deficiencies in B12. Or if you're not eating a lot of animal product, you are likely more deficient in B12. Be careful when you are taking a B vitamin. You want to make sure, from a vitamin standpoint, that you're looking at methylcobalamin, not cyanocobalamin. Cyanocobalamin is a synthetic form. It's a derivative of, it has a cyanide molecule on it, but they say it's fine. There's really not that much cyanide. It's not going to affect you that much. So stay away from cyanocobalamin if it's in your multivitamin, if it's in your B complex. The one that we have at our office, you are always more than welcome to stop by and pick it up. The B complex, it's methylated and it has a delayed release since B vitamins are water soluble. So I have to keep taking them every day. That's why you pee them out too, because your body utilizes what it needs and it gets rid of the rest. Another deficiency could be a vitamin E deficiency. So a vitamin E deficiency can cause more of that peripheral neuropathy to the musculoskeletal. Natural sources of vitamin E is often found in plant-based oils, nuts, seeds, fruits, so sunflower seeds, almonds, beet greens, collard greens, pumpkin, red bell pepper, right? Like, you want to know how to get the best multivitamin you can get is from your diet. Though that being said, if you don't have the greatest diet, it's kind of here or there. One of the best things that you can do is make sure you're taking a whole food multivitamin. The one that I take is from our office, the Max Living version. You can check out our website too at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. The other thing that's always really interesting from a toxicity standpoint is that you can have lead toxicity, arsenic toxicity, but one that really I think is interesting is mercury toxicity. They talk throughout this scholarly journal often about mercury toxicity and how this mercury toxicity can cause peripheral neuropathy. Now, when you look at, well, where am I getting these sources of mercury? So according to ZRT Laboratory, the five most common sources of mercury exposure, number one is from shellfish and fish, right? So methylmercury works its way up the food chain from small organisms in shellfish, and they accumulate in their tissues. So the highest would be king mackerel, shark, and swordfish. That is one of the reasons why they tell you to steer away from that during pregnancy, because of the higher mercury content. Every once in a while isn't the worst, but because mercury stores, and if you're not going through an active ability to get rid of it, then it's accumulating inside of your body, just like it does the shellfish. Another one is dental amalgams. Most people don't know that dental amalgams contain about 50% elemental mercury. I did a show a while back about how they're like, we need to call them mercury fillings, because though they have silver and copper and tin and other elements, they are majority 50% mercury, right? So they're not silver fillings. They're mercury fillings. Another one is vaccines that contain thimerosal. So thimerosal is a preservative used in vaccines. So the flu shot is definitely one of them that are administered to both children and adults. Thimerosal is metabolized in the body to form ethyl mercury, which each vaccination contains about 12.5 to 25 micrograms in each shot. So if you get that every single year and you have for years, think about that biotoxic accumulation that happens in your body. Mercury thermometers. So they talk about mercury vapor is usually absorbed through the body, but it typically has to be broken. But then fluorescent light bulbs. Most people don't know that fluorescent light bulbs contain less than 10 milligrams of mercury in elemental vapor form. So, yep, fluorescent light bulbs. So mercury. So this is one where it's like, oh, I have numbness and tingling. Okay, well, first and foremost, let's do this. Let's look to see how long it's been there. There's, you know, because as doctors, there's questions. There's questions that need to be asked. You know, how long has it been here? Where does it go to? What's the sensation like? Again, what areas do affect? Is there any, is it tingling? Is it numbness? Is it pain? Is it weakness? Right? And so you have to have a doctor who's knowledgeable in this, which is what we are at Greenwood Family Chiropractic. Neuropathy is nerve pain, nerve-related pain. This is what we are, our doctors of the spine and nervous system, right? Like, so this is down our alley. And then it lets you see, okay, so if, does this warrant something where we need to take x-rays to see if it's something that's neurological coming from the body, from the spine nervous system? Is there degeneration that's causing this? Is this something that can be a nutritional deficiency? Vitamin D is another nutritional deficiency that can present itself in terms of neuropathy. Do we need to look at doing more functional testing? Can we just fill in the gaps with some supplements? You know, it's, do we have to look at how do we properly detox from a toxicity overload? So again, as doctors, more specifically what we do in the office at Greenwood Family Chiropractic is this is what we are trained to do. This is how we're knowledgeable in being able to address this. So when you have that neuropathy, I'd love to say, nope, this is just a straight one and done. Here is exactly what we need to see. That being said, sometimes there's a couple other components that we have to address too. So if you want to know more, you have to come in. You got to come in, right? Come and see us. Greenwood Family Chiropractic, 317-893-2853, 317-893-2853. You can always leave a message. If we're not around, we will call you back. Or you can just go to our website. You literally can schedule an appointment through our website at greenwoodfamilychiropractic.com. Initial exam and consultations, $25. If we have to do any additional testing, we'll sit down and go through what those cost and look like. If you have insurance, you can always bring that in. We can get it checked and verified. So that being said, our goal is to make care affordable for individuals as well as full families. So we'll let you know any additional testing and what that looks like at that time. So hopefully you can come in, visit us, see what we can do. And if it's not for you, if it's a loved one, so I can't feel my feet, I don't know what's going on, I've got tingling in my arm when I sleep funny, that's not normal. Numbness and tingling, though it is common, often individuals experience it. Regardless, it is not normal. Common, not normal. So, thanks so much for tuning in. I look forward to next week, but always remember that your power is on.